you so much. Thank you to Chris and our praise band leading us in worship. Look at the people you brought in. We appreciate you being here today, and we are glad to see you. Would you find Isaiah chapter 55, the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 55, 13 verses in that chapter. We're going to read all 13 here in just a moment, but we're glad to see you. And we, for the month of March, which it's hard to believe it's already here, but next month we will be focusing on Hoosier 3. Some of you have been part of our Hoosier 1 or Hoosier 3 in the past, and so there will be a focus on evangelism, and encourage you to invite people to bring them in, and that will be wonderful. All of March the 3rd, Hoosier 3, John 3, there's a 3 theme that is going on here, but we're going to be in John 3 the whole month, and so we encourage you to come, and we're going to dive deeply into some of those familiar stories. Deals with Nicodemus, but not only, John the Baptist also, and of course Jesus is the center of that, so we encourage you to be a part of that. I want to encourage you, maybe if, you know, we know spring break's going to be in there somewhere, that you kind of tune in. It'd be okay. You can tune in live, watch it later, but if you miss a Sunday, come on, but I want to encourage you, maybe when you're in town, if you're in town, you come and be a part of that as well. Today, we're in Isaiah chapter 55. This now is the word of God. Isaiah 55 and verse 1. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples and a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that you did not know, you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, do not return there, but the water of the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. May the Lord bless the reading of his word today. The fear of missing out. FOMO, as it has become, maybe known throughout, everybody knows, understands what that means now. It was in 2013, I think, that Webster Dictionary actually made FOMO part of the words that are in the dictionary. I got to tell you, though, some years ago when I first heard somebody say that phrase FOMO and I didn't know what it meant, I thought they were saying something naughty. But since 2004, that particular phrase has been used. The fear of missing out has been around for a long time. Maybe not the FOMO part, but the fear of missing out. In fact, in the 1990s, that was used in marketing and with advertisers in order that they might be able to let customers know if they didn't buy this certain product, if they didn't buy this item, that they would have led them to have fear of missing out. Of course, then they would choose as to what things would help them to be able to accumulate more, to be able to have what the best that this life has to offer, according to the advertisers. Now, even though FOMO has been around probably for a long time, maybe it's even more so now with social media, because you look on Facebook and you see somebody at the party that you didn't get invited to. Or you see that perfect family or that wonderful celebration that is taking place, and then you maybe have fear of missing out because you realize your family may not be perfect. Well, let me let you in on a little hint. None of their families are perfect either. The Lord God does not want you to miss out. The fear of missing out. So he has sent to us the great invitation. Here in Isaiah 55 and in other places, we find the Bible. This is the invitations of all invitations. In fact, the Bible in its entirety, as well as the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, these are the invitation of all invitations, the great invitation for you, because he doesn't want you to miss out. If you pay attention to this passage and act upon what we're going to find here today, you may never have the fear of missing out again. Now, I've given you an outline there for you to use in your bulletin, which you might be able to find. It looks kind of like a maybe the elements that be included in a wedding party or a dinner invitation. The truth be known, now that we've read this chapter, that you probably, well, no doubt that you could fill this out yourself just from reading. You probably don't need me, but you're stuck with me anyway. In fact, I recognize the Lord doesn't really need me, doesn't need any of us, but he has chosen in order that he might be able to use us so that we might be part of kingdom work and might be a part. And I'm glad that he's chosen you, and I'm glad he's chosen us that we might be able to do life together. And so here's what's going to happen. I'm very grateful for that. But so I'm facilitating today, and we're just going to kind of work through this invitation in these verses and some others. Notice, if you would, what's the very first word in Isaiah 55? Isaiah 55 and verse 1, it's come. In fact, it's repeated four times in this verse. So we agree that this is an invite. Well, what is the event? In light of this chapter, it's an invitation to come to God and to come to the Lord. Particularly, it included the Israelites that were invited to come back after being in exile. Physically come back, but they were to spiritually come back to the Lord. In light of what we know about Jesus in the New Testament, it is an invitation to place your faith and to trust in Jesus. To be more specific, it's an invitation to experience eternal life in the future and abundant living today by fully trusting in the Lord. It's about eternal life and about abundant living. It was an invitation to the people living 700 years before Jesus was born, even though they did not know his name. It's an invitation today, some 2,700 years later after this has been given. Jesus gives the seemingly same twofold invitation. And you know those. You know John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." And he added in John 10:10, where he said, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly." It's the great invitation. Today, may we be convinced, all other invitations that come from this world or come from the devil himself, anybody, any invitation that is not of Jesus, steals, kills, and destroys. Only the Lord's invitation gives eternal life and abundant living today. So whatever we do or however we respond will be a result of following this invitation, which is often pictured here and elsewhere as a banquet or a feast. Who's invited becomes important. But those who are invited might surprise you. Who's invited? We read it a moment ago. Well, we could say the Jews and the Gentiles. That might not surprise us, but it did to many Israelites of that day. A couple of weeks ago, we read the scripture and we learned about the suffering servant in Isaiah chapters 52 and 53, and recognized as it was prophesied about the suffering that Jesus would endure on our behalf. Talked about many of the sufferings. It talked about it. Even it pictured there what was the crucifixion. Didn't use the word because Israel had never heard of the crucifixion before that time. Pictured, of course, even the fact that he would die and be placed in a borrowed tomb. And it even gave foretelling of his resurrection. In Isaiah 54, the very next chapter, the chapter before this one, the Lord reminds the Israelites of his love for the Israelites, but he also hints, if not, goes ahead and says, but it's not just the Israelites that he loves. And back in Isaiah chapter 59, God had already announced, "I will also make you a light to the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach out to the ends of the earth." So it seems amazing to me that the Jewish leaders, even in Jesus' day, that they thought that God only loved them, and the salvation was only for them, or maybe for those who perhaps would be converted to Judaism. But what's the second word in Isaiah 55? Don't worry, we're not going to do every single word like this. But in Isaiah 55, what's the second word? It's everyone. So, in one sense, this is good news for everyone. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek," which would include everyone. But Isaiah records some stipulations. As a matter of fact, Paul does too, even in the verse we've read. For this invitation is for everyone, if you notice the next few verses, who is thirsty. It is an invitation for the thirsty. And of course, he means those who are spiritually thirsty. This is for all of those who want to have and thirst for that which truly satisfied that's found in the Lord. Many people thirst today, and they don't know what they're thirsting for, and many people try to quench their thirst through that which does not satisfy. So our theme could be an invitation for eternal life and satisfaction for all those who turn to Jesus. For the invitation is for whoever is dissatisfied with this world or formal religion. Everyone who is dissatisfied with this world or religion. If you're not thirsty, if you are satisfied with the things of this world, or maybe you're satisfied with formal religion, if you do not see a need for Jesus in your life, then this invitation may not be for you. Like a save the date card that you may get in the mail and you don't recognize who that is for, or maybe it's somebody that you don't really care about, you will just simply toss it away. However, if you're not satisfied with the things of this world or formal religion, and you do not know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, pay close attention to the invitation that is given here, because this could not only change your world, but it could change your life and all of eternity. Maybe you're here today, you've already put your faith in Jesus. You know that the world does not satisfy. You're not here, or you're not about a religion, but you're about a relationship with the living God through Jesus Christ your Lord. Watch, read, and listen today and discover how you can stay satisfied with Jesus, and even more so in the days to come. Now, if you're here today and you've recognized already this is not really for you, you found satisfaction perhaps in this world or with religion, I want to make a deal with you. You're here already, or maybe you're listening already. I want to make a deal with you that I want you to give it 20 minutes. I want you to listen to what God's words has to say for the next 20 minutes and see if the Lord does not have something better in store for you. 20 minutes, give or take, could change your world. In Luke 14, Jesus was at a dinner party at a Pharisee's house on the Sabbath. And while he was there, someone brought to Jesus someone who was ill, and he healed him right there on the spot, which of course brought much consternation there to the Jewish leaders. In the midst of this tense dinner party that was going on, assertively, courageously, Jesus told his parable about a banquet where many had been invited. After the preparations had been made, as was the custom in that day, sent a servant out in order to tell everyone been invited that now all things were ready and now's the time to come. But they all made excuses. You know this parable, perhaps some of the excuses that they had. One had bought a field and he needed to go out and check on the field. Another had bought a yoke of oxen and he needed to go out and check the yoke of oxen. We could find some holes certainly in these excuses. Hardly would anybody buy a field, buy some cattle, or go out and buy a used car and then go and have to check it out. There was a third who said that he was a newlywed and he had just gotten married and could not come. Now, we could talk a lot about good excuses and bad excuses, but much could be said about even using your spouse or a family as a reason not to respond to the call in the following Jesus. But even good excuses are not adequate when the call of Christ must take priority above all else. The master was not happy with those who said that they would come, and then they made excuses, and they did not come. So he sent his servants out into the alleyways, into the streets, and he brought in the undesirables of the city. They were called in the parable, in the scripture, the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. All of these accepted the invitation and came to the house, and yet there was room for more. So he said, the master told the servants, go to the roads and the county lanes. Sometimes we call those the highways and the hedges. It is a reference to those outside the city, meaning to the original audience, the Gentiles, and compel them to come in, persuade them to be a part of the kingdom. In fact, in Luke chapter 14 and verse 24, where this parable is told, Jesus said, "For I tell you, none of those men who are invited shall taste my banquet." Here's what you and I need to understand. The Jewish leaders for whom Jesus told this parable, they knew that he was talking about them. And Jesus said they would not taste of the feast that they desperately had looked forward to. So what's the big picture? It's just not a lesson about just inviting everyone to church or even becoming a church member. Does the Lord want his church to be full? I have no doubt that that would please him beyond measure. But that's not the intent of this parable. The main point of the parable, the story that was told by Jesus, was that the kingdom of God, while available to everyone, is not automatic. It is for those who humbly respond to his invitation that is given by Christ. The kingdom of God and sitting in a church service, those are not the same thing. The kingdom of God is made up of people who have a relationship with the Lord Jesus. We're a family of believers who are responding to our Savior and living together for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Those who have responded to the invitation are invited to not just a future event, but to the banquet in process right now. However, maybe you've responded to the invitation, like in the parable told by Jesus, but you're thinking those who responded to the invitation are the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And maybe you're thinking, that's not me. Well, let me tell you something. It is you. It is me. It is who we were before we met Jesus. We were the spiritual paupers, the religiously crippled. When it came to holiness, we were lame and we were blind to godly things until we accepted the free invitation of the Lord, saved us and made us whole. I mean, but really, is that true of everybody? Is everybody spiritually poor, crippled until they meet Jesus? The answer is yes, whether they know it or not. I will confess to you that a couple of weeks ago, I watched the Super Bowl and the commercials. It's interesting that we could not talk during the commercials, but we could talk during the Super Bowl. Bobby Jones asked you on Sunday morning 2 weeks ago, how many of you were for the Chiefs? Only two or three people raised their hand, so probably most of you are pretty satisfied with what happened at the Super Bowl. Also, it was Tom Brady's first time to call the Super Bowl in the broadcast booth. Brady, who won 7 Super Bowls and has more records than can be named. But it reminded me of an article that I had read a few years ago, I guess, after Tom Brady won his 3rd Super Bowl. He won 7, but it was after he was 30 years old and he'd won his 3rd Super Bowl, and he did had a television interview with 60 Minutes and with journalist Steve Croft. Despite the fame and accomplishments, Brady told Steve Croft that it felt like something was still lacking in his life. He said, and I quote, "Why do I have 3 Super Bowl rings and still think there's something greater out there for me?" I mean, maybe a lot of people would say, "Hey, man, this is what it's all about. I reached my goal, my dream, and my life. Me, I think it's got to be more than this. I mean, this can't be all it's cracked up to be." Steve Croft pressed Tom Brady as to what the right answer was, and Brady added, "What's the answer? I wish I knew. I love playing football. I love playing quarterback for this team, but at the same time, I think there are a lot of other parts about me that I'm trying to find." Now, I got to tell you, I know nothing about Tom Brady's spirituality, know nothing about his faith. This is just an example. But everyone who comes to Christ must come in humility, realizing they have a need for a touch from the Savior. For this invitation, we learn from the invitation in Isaiah 55 and also from the parable that Jesus told, it is for sinners and the wicked. It's for sinners and the wicked. We read in Isaiah 57 and verse 4, 55 and verse 7, "Let the wicked and the unrighteous return to the Lord that he may have compassion." Aren't all of us sinners in need of Jesus? Yes. Aren't all people? Yes. But not everyone knows it. Who's the invitation for? Well, it's for everyone, for the Jews and Gentiles. But it's for those who are thirsty, who will recognize the invitation, those who are dissatisfied with this world or even with religion. And it's not for the saintly or for those who think that they are saintly. It is for sinners. Well, what's on the menu? Now, you could fill this out. We've read about it here. Of course, they're going to have water. Well, doesn't everyone? Well, in that culture, with no running water and everybody had to have the chore of going to a well or going to a river in order that they might ration it out for the day, it becomes important. At this banquet, water flows freely. This water is life-giving water. This water is life-giving water. You remember Jesus when he met the woman at the well and asked her for a drink, and they had a conversation. Later he would say in John chapter 4 and verse 13, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Jesus provides living water that is essential for eternal life and for abundant living, or as for a satisfied life. What else is on the menu? You read it? Milk is on the menu. Life-growing milk. So, reminding us that not only does the Lord want to give you life, but He wants your life to have meaning and purpose. He's got a plan. He wants you to grow in that plan and grow in Christ and know more about Him every day. The Apostle Paul said, or 1 Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, he said, like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow in your salvation. Then the Apostle Paul said, for believers to move from milk to solid food and not to stay as newborn babies. Keep growing in Christ. Learn all the spiritual disciplines that will help you to grow, reminding us that the promised land life, as it was said in the Old Testament, is flowing with milk and honey. Gives us a clue about what that is about, that He wants us to continue to grow. What's next on the menu? Wine. Well, maybe most Baptist preachers would just skip over this, but it's not the wine, but it's what it represents. The wine represents living with joy. We're reminded, of course, of Jesus' first miracle. Jesus turns the water into wine at a wedding. Now, before you go out of here and you tell somebody that your preacher said that you needed to have more wine for more joy, listen closely. Many of us are teetotalers, and while we're in the minority, perhaps in today's culture particularly, we feel it's best to abstain altogether so as not to be a stumbling block to others. A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, we were looking for a youth minister and talking with this fella and his wife. And after our first interview, somebody on the team kind of did a deep dive, I guess, into Facebook, speaking of FOMO, and came and found there was the youth minister's wife at a social gathering there. They each had a drink in their hand. And so that was discussed at the second interview, particularly with working with youth. And he said, well, I don't have to drink. I drink socially. I don't have to. If you don't want me to, I won't. And somebody boldly said, and I thought it might have been a little bit going over the line, said, well, have you ever been drunk? And this was his answer. He said, I never knew anyone who would drink socially who did not drink too much at some point or another. We did not hire this person. If you could influence one person, be it a family member or a friend, somebody who cannot hold their liquor or do not know that they have a problem, or maybe even so that you don't have a problem, wouldn't it be worth it to abstain all of your life? And this is true not just for alcohol, but for many other things. Is everybody okay? Nevertheless, this is a symbol of joy at the table, joy in the presence of the Lord, whereby nothing else is needed to be able to rejoice always, for Jesus is in our midst. Anything else on the table? What else is going to be at this event? Bread and rich food, symbolizing living with Jesus. Nehemiah said, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Jesus is the bread of life. Good food and a banquet often symbolize spiritual abundance. And the Bible says, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no mind has conceived, what God has prepared for those who love Him. We understand greater than water, better than milk, sweeter than wine, more abundant than bread or food is the menu the Lord has in store for you and me and for those who love Him. Well, what's the location? Is there an address? Ultimately, what the Lord has in mind is heaven. It's the place where we'll be with Jesus forever. It's like no place that we have ever experienced, like nothing that we could ever imagine. It's described in ways we could not completely understand. But it's often referred to in the Old Testament as a great feast or banquet. But Jesus told his parable in Luke 14. One of the Pharisees sitting at the table said in Luke chapter 14 and verse 15, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. And this Pharisee was right in his understanding of this metaphor that talked about the kingdom of God that was to come. He was just wrong in how and blinded by how to get there. But this idea was not just an Old Testament concept. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 9 says, then the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, "These are the true words of God." But the address of the invitation is not just heaven. As we've already hinted, it begins here. It begins here and now when you place your faith in Jesus, when you give your heart and life to Jesus. It's not the end of anything. It's just the beginning right here on earth. But you know, Jesus does not promise physical health. He does not promise wealth. He does not promise no grief, no sorrow, or no pain. We know that that's going to happen in heaven. But he does promise to never leave us nor forsake us, and to be a part, and that we can take part in kingdom work. Remember, we just talked about abundant living and being satisfied with Jesus are synonymous. Well, abundant living and satisfaction does not come in getting something or only thinking about yourself. That is what the world would say would be the definition of abundant life or satisfaction. But abundant life and satisfaction comes when you place your faith in Jesus, and instead of thinking about self, instead you want to exalt the name of Jesus and you want to be a part of kingdom work. Can we take just a little bit of a deeper dive in some of these verses? Look at Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 3. It says, "Incline your ear and come to me, hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David." What's the covenant of David? It is the fact, the covenant of David is the fact that we understand that God promised to establish his lineage forever and the kingdom that he started forever, and to bring forth the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Look at verses 4 and 5. Isaiah 55 verse 4 says, "Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples and a leader and a commander for the peoples." Jesus has fulfilled this. Verse 5, "Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you." It is a new nation. It is our theme that the Lord is doing a new thing, and he continues to do a new thing. There was the nation of Israel, but the new nation, which all Israelites are invited to be a part of, includes Jews and Gentiles, but all people who have placed their faith in Jesus. Jesus said in John 14, 21, "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." That word manifest means to be made known. Make no mistake, as we're talking about the abundant life and satisfaction, it's in knowing him. The word manifest, to be made known, he wants to make himself more to you every day. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." We talk about that God's ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Well, how high? Take a look at verse 9. Glad you asked. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." If the fact that he uses the plural heavens, probably not talking about the place that we will spend eternity with Jesus one day. Probably not talking about just the sky. We talk about the heavenlies that are sky that is above us, but probably he's talking about all the things that he has made perhaps in the solar system. He's giving you a picture, how far above. Well, only the Lord knows how big the universe, how big all the galaxies are. But if we were to go and be in something that could carry us the speed of light, it would take us 93 million years to go from one part of the known universe to the other. How high is God's ways and God's thoughts higher than ours? It is at least that high. Last year, our theme for the church was from Ephesians chapter 3 that says, "Now to him who's able to do far more abundantly all that we ask or think according to the power that is at work within us." And we recognize as a church, and you recognize in your life, he's able to do far more than we could ever think or imagine. This year, for our church, this is our theme from Jeremiah chapter 29 and 11, another familiar verse. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in a future." Church, we're ready, or we want to be ready. That says, "Lord, what's your plans?" We don't want to do our plans. We want to do your plans. People, we want that in our own life. "Lord, what's your plans? I don't want to do my plans. I want to do your plans." It's the invitation. What's the cost? Well, The Lord made it clear in Isaiah 55, there'll be no charge. It doesn't mean there is no cost. If you throw a dinner party, or if you ever had to pay for a wedding, you recognize that somebody's got to pay the cost. The invitation cost the host, this invitation, the greatest cost ever. So there is no charge for you and me. But the greatest cost ever was charged to the Son of God, who gave his life for you and me, so that we may be reminded today that this invitation came with a great price. What's the date? Kind of like the location. When do we need to show up? When does this banquet begin? We've said it. You know it. It begins right now, the present, today, February 23rd, 2025. You can come rejoicing. Look at Isaiah 55 and verse 12. For you shall go out in joy, be led forth in peace, and the mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. For the Israelites, this was them coming back to God, even coming back to Israel. But Isaiah pictures people going out in joy, going forth in peace, mountains singing, trees clapping. Of course, illustrations that bring glory to God. I say this to you, Parkway, and I realize that I are one of you. But before our present-day music ministry, the clapping reminded me of this, we were, Parkway, rhythmically challenged. Listen, we still got a ways to go, but we're much better than we used to be. Isn't that true? Some people say, yeah, we really are. But not just in being rhythmically challenged and not just keeping rhythm, but we've come a long way in how we have learned how to worship, not just in this place, but recognize that not motions that we go through, but recognizing that we make Jesus first and foremost in our life and everything that we do. We've all already talked about that there's a future date. Well, it's the date, it's the present, it's the future date when Christ returns. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 13, the last verse in this chapter. It says, instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. When Christ returns, there will be a reverse of the curse from Genesis chapter 3. No more thorns or briars or thistles, and no more sin. We live in confidence and anticipation of that very day. In the meantime, we do what Isaiah 55:6 says. Seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. We need to call upon Jesus today while he is near. There's no promise for the same opportunity for tomorrow. One of Satan's great tools is spiritual procrastination. I'm going to get things right tomorrow, another day, next season of life, sometime in the future. This we know. His word, even today, will not return void and will not return empty, because all those who are thirsty, all those who are dissatisfied with this world or religion, all those who are sinners and recognize a need for the Lord Jesus will respond, and change will occur. This is the RSVP. If you have yet to do so, call on Jesus for salvation, asking Jesus for forgiveness, placing your faith in him and following him. If you have called on Jesus for salvation, then call on Jesus for abundant living and for satisfaction through daily confession, coming to him every day, spending time in prayer and in his word, through trusting him for today and for all things in your life, and continuing to follow him. FOMO, everybody's aware of, knows what that stands for. We have an acronym also in our family that only is known by our family until today. You can forget it after I use this for illustration. It's the acronym CRM. Now, I've got three brothers. There's four of us. All of us are married. We've got children and grandchildren, and except my youngest brother, but he will. And so our wives have come up with this term for CRM. Cheap Redmond men. Not sure where they came up with that, but I guess it's in our gene pool. My daddy was known for saying, hey, don't ever pay somebody for something you can do for yourself. We think we're frugal, you understand. One example of that is if you Sometimes we might book a flight, and you go, if you go on Delta or other airlines, I guess, there's, it begins with basic, and then you can upgrade to whatever. I almost always book basic. You know what that means. No thrills. You're going to be in the back of the plane. You can't even get your seat assigned until you get there. Most of the time, it usually works out okay. And one time it happened. We got an upgrade. They moved us to the front of the plane. And I can tell you, there's a difference between the front of the plane and the back of the plane. There may have been some other things, but here's the main thing that I remember. You know how they come and they'll throw you one of the cookies, or they'll throw you that bag of pretzels, you know, if you're in the back of the plane. If you're in the front of the plane, they came and they handed me a basket. And inside the basket were potato chips and cookies and pretzels and about many, many other things, so many I cannot name. I looked at Kelly. I said, how many can I get? There's a difference between the front of the plane and the back of the plane. I want you to hear me on this, because you can go the rest of your Christian life and you can fly basic. But here's an invitation for an upgrade. While with the back of the plane, the front of the plane, you're going to end up in the same place. But it's much better at the front. It's much better to follow the invitation of the Lord Jesus. Listen to what was written in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. The spirit of the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let one who is thirsty come. And let the one who desires takes the water of life without price. Well, how do you get an upgrade? How do you find more satisfaction? Well, when it comes to knowing more of His love, His power, His grace and mercy, stay thirsty for the things of God only. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank You for an opportunity to come and be able to spend time in worship with fellow believers. We thank You for the invitation that we've read about today that we know is true throughout the Scripture and is demonstrated in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Everyone here, regardless of where they are in their spiritual journey without Christ or even a fully devoted follower of Jesus, we all can respond to this invitation today. We pray, Father, that You may help us to respond adequately, whether it's to keep going, keep trusting, keep finding satisfaction in Jesus, to come closer because we've been far away, or to give our heart and life for Jesus for the very first time. Help us, Father, to know what we need to do today individually. Help us to know what we need to do as a church. And we thank You, Father, for loving us and inviting us. It's in Jesus' name we lift these prayers. Amen. Would you please stand? We're going to sing our song of commitment. We encourage you to follow through with the Lord's commitment, whatever that may be. Our ministry team's down here at the front, and we'll be glad to talk with you. And I'll be standing right here worshiping along. And if you'd like to share your commitment, you can come just stand beside me or one of our ministry team. We'll be glad to talk with you and pray with you. If you need to come giving your heart and life to Jesus, maybe you've already have, but you just not made it public. Maybe it is that you need to come asking, what do I do now? How do I accept Christ? Come, we'll be glad to talk with you about that very thing. If you need to come, you want to join Parkway, you come, let us know you want to join Parkway. We'll tell you the next steps. Altar's open if you'd like to come and pray, or come pray with one of us as we sing together.